Although the delayed beginning of the Republican National Convention has organized a scrambling to make adjustments, the speaking lineup is the result of months of careful crafting. Joining me now for a look at what the Republican Party is trying to communicate over the next week is Vanity Fair contributing editor Craig Unger. He's covering the conventions for VanityFair.com, and he joins us now from Tampa. Welcome back to our show.
Thanks for having me.
Is this convention as much about reintroducing Mitt Romney to the American electorate as it is about trying to forge some party unity?
Well, I think there's certainly a bit of both, and I think part of the challenge they face is it comes out of this Todd Akin fiasco, and one of the big questions they face is can they put that behind them and craft their own message, or will they lose the ability to put forth their own narrative? That is, the Akin fiasco has been a huge really confuse people and put them off their game.
Now, Craig, your book coming out next week is called Boss Rove, Inside Karl Rove's Secret Kingdom of Power. And we'll be talking about that next week, next month. But I'm wondering, is he a presence at the convention?
Absolutely. In fact, I had Politico sponsored a breakfast with him this morning, and I attended it. And there you could get some sense of the message they're trying to craft. Rove was very much, you could tell that he was going to get rid of Todd Akin, that he was not going to allow that to stand in the way of the United Republican Party. And the message I think they're going to try to put out is that this is a replay of the 1980 presidential election, and that Obama is Jimmy Carter to Romney being Reagan. That's the message he wants to say, that Obama is a very weak leader. And I think there is some truth in that. A lot of people are disappointed in the extent to which the promise of change and hope has not been realized.
Well, Mike Huckabee was supposed to address the convention tonight. He's come out in support of Todd Akin. People relieved that the schedule has changed a bit.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is I'm just getting my credentials this afternoon, and the whole day has been put off, so it's hard to know the answers to those kind of questions. I think my understanding is that Donald Trump is being bumped from the list of speakers, which is no surprise. I think it's interesting that, again, this division with people like Huckabee. I was with the Missouri delegation last night, and they really felt they were committed to Akin. They believed that he could weather this storm. On the other hand, you got exactly the opposite kind of message from Rove this morning, that Akin's favorables had dropped to, I believe, 17%, and they didn't stand a chance. And the takeaway for me was that Akin would be forced out.
Well, I have spoken to people who actually live in his district. I know some people who live there, and they say that the backlash is very strong for him, although that may just be within his district. They felt that the larger impact would be on a national level, that even if Akin wins, it will have some kind of impact on the Republicans in general, because it's brought up this whole issue of the Republican platform and Paul Ryan's position on things like whether abortion should ever be allowed.
Well, absolutely, and I think that's precisely why someone like Karl Rove does not want Akin in the race. He wants to get rid of him as fast as possible.
And neither did Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, a whole bunch of other people you would have thought would have come to his defense.
Right, exactly. But on a local level, you're absolutely right. When I talked to the Missouri delegation, they were quite fond of him. They said he's a very nice guy. He just misspoke. And when he tried to cover his tracks, he only made it worse. We'd like to stand by him. But I don't think they seem to realize the implications on a national level.
Republicans didn't release any of the details about who would be addressing the convention until a few weeks ago, after the Democrats had released their lineup. Is that a reflection of the care that they've been taking?
It may well be. I think they, one problem they've had is that Romney is just not a warm man. He never really caught fire with the base. They want to make sure that he comes across more as a warmer figure. They feel everyone knows Obama. Not a lot of people don't know Obama, don't know Romney, and especially among the undecideds, that they haven't been the undecideds haven't really been paying attention yet. They're going to start to in the next 6 weeks, and they feel they can make some progress there.
One of the victims of the weather is all of the rock concerts. They've all been canceled.
I guess so. To be honest, I have not been paying too much attention.
You're not a big Leonard Skinner fan?
I've been following Karl Rove. I have to say I think that's, if you want to know what's going on in the Republican Party, you should see what he's doing and what he's doing behind the scenes.
Were you surprised by anyone who's in the speaking lineup? There are a number of Hispanic speaking. Is trying to widen their appeal to Latinos a big priority for Republicans this year?
Well, it's huge. In the long run, that's the problem, demographic problem, the Republicans face. It's a Hispanic time bomb. And there are 50 million Hispanics now. In 2020, there'll be 70 million. If they start to vote in large numbers, it's a disaster for the Republicans, especially in states like Texas and Arizona. There are 10 million Hispanics in Texas alone. So you could conceivably see those kinds of states flip from red to blue in the next couple of elections, and that's one reason. I think it's sort of a huge story in this election is that you have this voter ID campaign going on in dozens of states that really will hinder registration by Hispanics, and that's what the Republicans want because they vote so heavily for Democrats.
How big a concern are Tea Party activists for the convention organizers?
Well, there is a real schism, and that's why I kept going back to the Todd Akin issue, because through that you see the separation between the establishment Republicans, people like Karl Rove, Ed Gillespie, and so forth, and the Tea Partiers. And the establishment has little love for the lack of discipline. They just can't stand it. When you see Todd Akin, or you in the midterms in 2010, you may recall Christine O'Donnell was a senatorial candidate who said she had dabbled in witchcraft. Karl Rove does not like that, and he feels when you start to lose elections on issues like that, it's just not to be tolerated. And they want to instill some discipline in the Tea Partiers, but they also want to take advantage of the huge bank accounts of Tea Party funders like Sheldon Adelson, the Koch brothers, Foster Freeze, and a lot of the energy and dynamism that the Tea Party has.
My guest is Craig Unger, who's a Vanity Fair contributing editor. He's covering the conventions for VanityFair.com. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, the way we've been talking, it sounds like the Republicans have some serious problems, and yet new polling shows that the race is very tight. In fact, I think the ABC poll has Mitt Romney ahead. Is it because voters fault President Obama for his handling of the economy?
I think so. I think that's a large part of it. I think people have a very, very short memory. If you go back just to 4 years ago, look at the disaster that George W. Bush left behind. You had two wars going. The economy was falling off a cliff. People were losing jobs at record rates. And interestingly enough, Karl Rove had been forced out of the White House in disgrace then. But just a year later or so, he started coming back, became king of the super PACs, and I think that's going to be a huge factor in this election. They have about $1 billion in super PAC money, and you're going to see it being spent like crazy in the battleground states in these last few weeks of the election.
Do you think that we'll hear much about George W. Bush during this convention? He declined his invitation to speak at Tampa.
Yeah, I don't think you will. In many ways, he's a really divisive figure. A lot of the Tea Partiers did not like him. He represented a spendthrift kind of Republican. What may be a little more interesting is Jeb Bush. And if Romney doesn't win, I think there's a good possibility you might see a Jeb Bush candidacy in 2016 with Karl Rove behind him.
Well, George Bush said that he is happy to be rid of the swamp of politics, which I thought was kind of interesting. But I suspect we'll be hearing more about him from the Democrats next week in Charlotte.
Yes, that would not surprise me. And I think it's important for the Democrats to instill a sense of history here, that if you look at the economy, at the path this country's gone on over the last 10 years, you can see that the administrations of George W. Bush were a very sharp right turn, and they left us in very serious economic trouble.
Now, Chris Christie is speaking. He's the keynote speaker, and as I mentioned earlier in my conversation with Bob Hennelly, New Jersey right now is going through a serious economic downturn. It's the fourth worst unemployment rate in the country, worse than Michigan. So can the Republicans still really argue that they will improve the economy?
Well, they can argue it, I guess. I think, you know, when you talk to the delegates, you try to figure out why they are so strongly they blame Obama entirely for the economy and no one else. And I think that supersedes people at the state level like Chris Christie. They don't seem to put any blame on George W. Bush, who ran up huge deficits. I think it's what I see happening again and again is they seem to get all their information from Fox News.
Now, we originally, Romney ran largely on his record at Bain Capital and as governor of Massachusetts, and then he seemed to distance himself from those things when they cause trouble. So are we likely to hear about his time at Bain?
Well, I'm sure the Democrats will bring it up, absolutely. And another issue is the whether he'll reveal his taxes, which I don't think he will. That may be played out, though I wouldn't be surprised if the Democrats hammered it home during the next few weeks.
On Thursday night, before Romney makes his acceptance speech, several members of his administration from his time as governor in Massachusetts will be speaking. Is it surprising that Romney hasn't talked about that governing experience more? And do you think that talking about Massachusetts has a political downside because of his because of what's come to be known as Romneycare?
Absolutely. I think it brings up his rather conflicted position on health care. In fact, that Romneycare was very much like Obamacare. He had to completely distance himself from it. Massachusetts also, of course, is a very liberal state, and its mere mention just does not play well in the heartland. So they want to think of Romney as the next Ronald Reagan, sort of a glamorous figure, tall, handsome, with his terrific haircut and so forth, and not to bring out the Massachusetts part of it.
The last time you were here, you said that we would see the real money after Labor Day, and Karl Rove has said that his goal is to raise $300 million for the campaign cycle. Since the Republicans are raising a lot more than the Democrats, how big a role do you think money will play in this campaign?
Well, I think it's huge. And we saw sort of a preview of it in Wisconsin in the recall, failed attempt to recall the Republican governor there, and in which the Republicans had something like an 8-1 margin in fundraising. With the super PACs like American Crossroads, Crossroads GPS, and so forth, Rove alone is overseeing super PACs with roughly $1 billion. You have Sheldon Adelson putting in about $100 million. The Koch brothers are also going to put in about $100 million. And if you can just imagine buying up ads in 8 or 9 of the battleground states, Ohio, Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and so forth, it has the potential to make a huge difference.
Now, Sarah Palin energized the McCain campaign. Do you think that Paul Ryan does the same for the Romney campaign?
Well, I think it's a double-edged sword, and being down here in Florida, where there are a lot of retirees, it can be kind of negative because of the threat he poses to Medicare. So that is not a positive, and obviously a state like Florida is absolutely crucial to the Republicans. On the other hand, I think he really does energize that Tea Party base, and that can be a plus for the Republicans.
In the last few weeks, Romney has had to address Medicare, rape, and abortion. Then he made this ill-received joke about the fact that he has never been asked to show his birth certificate. Are we going to see the Republicans avoiding those kinds of topics, or are we already hearing some kind of a spin that will make them sound more attractive to voters?
Well, I think those are, I was going to say dog whistle words that excite the base an awful lot. I don't know what the extent to which they will really hurt him among the Democrats, but I think the thrust of the campaign is going to be Obama as a weak leader. That's going to be a large part of it. That's what Rove was saying today, and I think you can...
And that's what the speeches at Tampa probably will hammer away at?
I think that's going to be a real theme, that we've had 4 years of this leadership. He's not solved the economic problems. We need a change. And that Rove wants to recreate Ronald Reagan's campaign in 1980, or at least that's the message he seemed to put forth this morning at breakfast.
And Karl Rove is the subject of Craig Unger's new book, which will be out next week. It's called Boss Rove, Inside Karl Rove's Secret Kingdom of Power. We will be talking with Mr. Unger about that next month. And my great thanks to you, Craig, for talking with us today. Craig Unger, Vanity Fair contributing editor, who is covering the conventions for VanityFair.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you.